Already. Okay, we do Parsha Zachor. Parsha Zachor is at the end of Ki Teitze in Dvarim. Rina's coming, yeah. And then you can come over here if you want. At the end of Ki Teitze in Dvarim, Perek Kaf Dalid, chapter 24, Pasuk, Amen Miriam. Not Perek Kadam, Perek Kaf Hei, the end of Perek Ki Teitze. Sorry. Okay. Chapter 25, verse 17. But we're going to start at verse 13. We're going to do Rashi, okay, and then we're going to do the Netziv today. Today we're going to focus on the commentary of the Netziv, which is very beautiful and very, very powerful, and also very, very meaningful, as we often can find. Netziv? No, Netziv von Balazhin was the head of the yeshiva in Balazhin. Balazhin was in Poland, Prussia. Naftali Yehuda of Berlin is his name. He's not of Berlin. You ever heard of like Rav Chaim Berlin? Just of the Netziv. Rav Chaim Berlin, the Yeshiva Chaim Berlin, was his son. Okay, he had two wives. He had an older wife who died, and then the Netziv married his niece later on after his first wife died, and he had a second son whose name was Rav Meir Berlin, who changed his name to Rav Meir Bar Ilan. Okay, who founded Bar Ilan University? It's an unbelievable family, the Netziv's family. His nephew was the Torah Tamima, and he married his niece, who ended up being his sister-in-law. So the Torah Tamima sometimes writes, why? You want to hear the story of his niece? I just listened to an amazing tape from Rav Shechter in YU, who just briefly told this story. His niece married some Hasidic fellow, but he wasn't learned. She couldn't stand him. Because he really wasn't a Talmid Chacham, she ran away from him. And at the time in Russia, you weren't allowed to run away from your husband. So she ran away to the forest, and the authorities came looking for her. And after they gave up and ran away, whatever, they gave up, she went back home and they said, "You're crazy, you're never gonna marry her, you're never gonna have a husband." She says, "I don't care, this guy's not a Talmid Chacham, get me away from him. You're not gonna give you a get." He finally gave her a get. She was like, nobody wants to marry this crazy young woman. The Netziv's older wife died. He's 40 years older than her, and she found out that he's Rosh Hashiva, whatever. So she married him, and then she had children with him, and she was the Rebbetzin. They said she ran the show. She ran the yeshiva for 40 years until he died. Later on, the Balazhin yeshiva, and he was the Rosh Yeshiva of the famous Balazhin yeshiva until it closed in the early 1900s. So her brother was the Torah Tamima. Rabbi Epstein, his name was. And it's all like a very famous family. So sometimes, Rav Shachar says, sometimes he writes in his book, he says, "I heard from my uncle and my brother-in-law, the Netziv." Because he was his uncle and his brother-in-law. But it's all in the family. Anyway, we're going to do the Netziv today, but we digress. Okay, so we're going to start with the right before, as we all know, once a year we read Parshat Zachor. There's a mitzvah de'oraita, a mitzvah zichirat mechirat Amalek. The mitzvah to remember the commandment to destroy the nation of Amalek. Okay, and we obviously every year we go to hear Parshat Zachor. This is men, women, all of us, right? So make sure you make it to shul, or they have a reading later on. It's interesting to note, halachically, it's a mitzvah once a year. We do it around this time for obvious Purim-related reasons, but in theory, you can do it all the time. You know, wake up in the morning, don't forget to kill Amalek, you know what I'm saying? Okay, very good. You know, we're not going to discuss, I thought about discussing it, we're not going to discuss the ethical aspects of genocide. That's for another day, okay? But we are going to discuss a very, very interesting question, an important question. How are we supposed to fulfill mitzvah Mechiat Amalek, remembering Amalek, when today, what's our problem with Amalek? Right, there is no Amalek.
Is it an ideology or is it a nation?
Correct, that's a problem. What is it? Like, is it an ideology or a nation? It used to be a nation, used to be a people, but there are no nations like that anymore. I mean, even Egypt is not Egypt. Greece is not Greece. The whole world has changed. So it raises a fundamental question. What does God intend for us to do if He wrote it in the eternal Torah? What was the idea that we're supposed to destroy Amalek? Moreover, this isn't just some pie in the sky theoretical thing. Rambam writes, let me see if I can find it briefly. The Rambam writes that when Mashiach comes, if I can find it. Here we are. One second. Okay. Can't find it exactly, but the Rambam writes, when Mashiach comes, he has three jobs. He has to gather in the exiles, he has to build the Beit HaMikdash, and he has to destroy Amalek. It's part of his job. You know, and these are part of the things that we're going to have to do in the future. So how are we going to know who Amalek is? You know, it's a very interesting question.
Wasn't the issue for us now? We'll have more clarity on multiple issues, so wouldn't that be one of the issues we'd have more clarity on?
You assume so. But you would know who Amalek was. Now, it's a little bit easier to figure out now. Now you could see it sort of clarifying. How would you know who Amalek was?
That we're trying to destroy Mashiach. Was that Mashiach from Amalek?
Really?
No,
come on, much more practical.
Accept.
How would you know who Amalek was?
They'd run away?
Our ideology.
Thank you.
They what?
Genetic testing.
That's exactly what you would do. Genetic testing. What's that?
How are you going to genetically taste everybody?
You think it's so hard to find? You don't think that it'll be so hard to find out what the DNA marker of? I don't know, they'll dig up Ahmed or whatever. What's that?
How's it going to work?
Again, ethically and morally, you're aghast even thinking about the idea, correct?
Gattaca.
We're not going to discuss it. What?
The movie Gattaca is all about.
Oh, Gattaca. I saw that once.
It's like in the future, everyone will be genetic tested. Like, that's their goal.
Right, your genetic stamp. As soon as you're born, everybody will know you know what I'm saying? It's like your fingerprints. It's like your whatever. They'll already know everything they need to know about you, even before, before you're born. Scary talk. That doesn't. Again, great question. The Torah clearly advocates destroying an entire people, men, women, and children. Yes, that's exactly what the Germans did to us. And we struggle with it, but it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that we suspend our struggle, our emotional struggle, because we believe that God knows what's best for us and what's best for the world. The very fact that the Torah commands us to do this, it should disturb us, it should trouble us, but it can't stop us from fulfilling it. And it will not. That's what we believe. Right? Despite the fact that, you know, we can take this in another direction, because you're all very much aware of, you're aware of the whole story of Shaul and Agag and his unwillingness to fulfill the mission of Mechiyat Amalek and the reason that we suffered because of that. This is the issue of, does our sense of morality trump that of the Ribbono Shel Olam? Does it trump God's? You know, and it's something for all of us to struggle with. I want to come at it from a different perspective. Look at the parsha before Mechiyat Amalek. Yud Gimel. Lo yelecha bekischa even va'even gdol, even good va'even gdola uktana. You cannot have in your pocket two stones, big and small. You know what that means? I'm in Dvarim Kafhe Yud Gimel. Now I'm in Yud Dalet. Lo yelecha bebeitcha eifa ve'eifa gdola uktana. You can't have in your house an eifa and eifa. Eifa are liquid measurements. Even shleima vatzedek yelach. You have to have whole and complete stones. So that you will have long life on the land, upon the land that the Lord your God has given you. Because it is an abomination of God, anyone who does these things, anyone who does this avel, this injustice, this misjustice. You see, I'm in Devarim. I will go back to Shemot. Why am I in Devarim? Because this week we're reading Parshat Zachor. We'll see you in a second. That's in Devarim. Okay, we're going to come back to Shemot in a second. It's all good. Yeah, that's fine. Okay? Two stones. What does that mean, two stones? How did they... That's right. How did they do weights? I would like to buy, 200 kilo of, or 200 grams of coffee beans. So they didn't have the thing that you have, right? They had the two sides. So we take the... Here's the weight, 100 gram. Put the thing on the other side and figure out how much it was. So of course the best way to cheat was
twitch stones
or have false stones, right? And it's something that's very easy to do, surreptitious. Nobody really knows. You're not going to shave a lot. You're going to shave a tiny amount. It's going to be 198. Because for every 200, you make a 2% profit. That's how you make your living. Says the Torah, that's avel. Kol osa eila, kol osa avel. It's to'avat Hashem Elokecha. It's an abomination. Everybody likes to talk about certain abominations in the Torah, but we never talk about the abomination of cheating, the abomination of stealing, the abomination of false weights. Next parsha. Zachor et asher asalecha Amalek, baderech betzeitchem mimitzayim. Remember that which Amalek has done for you, did to you, on your way out when you left Egypt. Asher karcha baderech. The words are very, very important. Okay? Now let's read the pasuk, and then we'll understand it, interpret it. Asher karcha baderech, vayizanev becha kol asher nechashalim acharecha, va'ata ayev v'yageya, v'lo yarei Elohim. That's a loaded pasuk. Asher karcha baderech.
I fooled
you on the way. That? From the crow. Good guess. Good guess. But it's not from likro. It's a different likrot. From the word...
It says Lashon
Mikre. Who says Lashon Mikre?
Rashi.
Very good. Asher karcha baderech. Look at Rashi. Lashon Mikre. What is Mikre?
Happenstance.
Happenstance. It's almost like...
coincidence.
We're going on the road. Wow, so nice to see you. So that they bumped into you on the way. And this is a common theme, a very important theme in understanding what Amalek is about. Okay, and this is based on the Midrash. Let's just read the Rashi, because it's a very important Rashi to know. Davar acher lashon keri v'tuma karcha mitam'an b'mishkav zachor, that they were involved in homosexuality. Davar acher, number three, kor v'chom, asher karcha, who cooled you off from cold and hot. Okay? Everybody understand that? From asher karcha, that cooled you off. Tzinancha, tzonen, cooled you off. Vehiv shircha, you used to be boiling hot, nobody would touch you. And they made you pesher, they made you lukewarm. Miritichatcha, from your boiling. What does that mean? Shayu kol ha'umod yirein lihilachem bachem. Everyone was afraid of you. Ubazeh, vehitchil veheram makom lacherim. And this guy came along and attacked you and showed everybody else, see, they're not so tough. Right? You know? He's a human. Nobody ever saw Rocky 3? Sorry. Okay. Mashal la'ambati rotachat. Right? It's analogous. It's compared to a boiling hot tub. She'en kol beriyah yechola le'ered b'tocha. Nobody can get in. Ba ben belial echad. One shmendrik comes along. Kafatz b'yarad l'tocha. And he jumps in. What? Shmendrik? Ben Belial. How do you translate Ben Belial? Rina says it's an SOB. It is. Yeah. Ben Belial. Son of a Belial. Belial wouldn't be a B.
Belial is a false god.
A false god. An SOB. That SOB showed up, right? Okay. And Kafatz Yavrada Tochan jumped in. Avapisha Nichva, he kreota bifne achirim. He burned, he got burned. Is it too hot? Yeah. He got burned. But now everybody else says, oh, it's not so bad. That asher karcha baderech, he cooled you off on the way. He showed everybody else, those people ain't so tough. You could attack them. That's baderech. Vayizanev, let's move on. Vayizanev becha. What is vayizanev? What's the word zanav? Meaning what? Vayizanev, to make, he tailed you. What does that mean literally, he tailed you? It means he followed you. Vayizanev becha. Necheshalim acharecha. Necheshalim, from the word what? The weak. Chalash. Necheshal, necheshal, nechalash.
The stumblers.
The stumblers, right. Michshol, no, Michshol is with a chaf.
Oh, what is this?
With a chet. Necheshalim. Okay? Rashi says?
A nechshol is a wave.
With a chet?
I think so, maybe not.
The kashel with a kaf. Kishalon, right, is to stumble from a michshol. Here's necheshalim with a chet. Rashi says, it's interesting, the Torah will sometimes do that. Necheshal, nechelash. Right, Rashi says, chasvei koach. Right, they're interchangeable letters. Weak, the weak. What did Amalek do? They didn't attack. They picked off the weak people who were stumbling behind, which gives you actually a different, not yet, they're not assimilated yet,
they will.
A different troubling picture of the Jewish camp. You have this picture of the whole camp, everyone together, they're all traveling, guards in the front, guards in the back, You know, the chair said, yeah.
Starting with the week.
What?
Starting with the week and then...
Where are the week?
Falling behind.
Falling behind. Really?
You're saying it was apple.
We should have had them in little.
What the heck? The people who are a little bit weaker... Come on, you can't keep up? Sorry, we're going ahead without you. Really? You're going to Har Sinai without the weak people? And all of a sudden comes Amalek.
Who was strong? They were all slaves. Slaves.
And where's the clouds of glory, by the way?
It's weak physically, weak in terms of their immunity, their goals, and what they're trying to
do. Rashi says, look at Rashi. This is not Pshat. It's Drash. Look at Rashi again. Chasrei koach, machmat chata'am. They were weak due to their sinfulness. Shehaya anan potan. So the cloud of glory spit them out.
I have this
what do
image.
You do with that?
Yeah. No, I have this image of like the clouds not, you know, like when the covers like don't quite cover you on the bed, they keep sliding off. I have this.
I can't imagine
the
that.
Clouds like keep sliding off.
The, no, it's you know, it spit them out. They're like, you know, sorry, you don't get the divine protection. And all of a sudden came Amalek. Comes Amalek up in the back and says, ooh. Right for the picking. Right, look what we found. And attacks the weak. Specifically. Meaning it's like it's the Torah pictures it gives it describes them as cowardly. You want to attack us? Okay, let's fight. But no, you don't want to do that. You just want to pick off the weak. You just want to pick off take out a few Jews. It sounds, you know what I'm saying?
It sounds very
modern. You can't fight us on our own terms because we're too strong. So we'll go find some tourists in Bulgaria somewhere and blow them up and say, oh, we're attacking the great Israel. Really? That's how you fight? You know, that's how you're going to, you know, show the greatness of God? That's exactly what it sounds like. Okay? There is an evil to that. To take helpless people and attack them. You have an issue, you know what I'm saying? You believe in a certain ideal, so fight for it. And we can fight on equal terms or whatever, you know what I'm saying? And beat your brains in.
But they believe ideologically that they are fighting. That
their ideological fight to go blow up people on a bus? Literally, that's exactly the same. I'm using, you know, of course, rabbinic license, but it's the same thing. Because that's how you fight? Make your point? What's your point?
Your point is that they're non-believers. They're
not so, no, you know what their point is? They're not so tough. We could get you. That's exactly what Rashi says. Asher karcha
baderech. Yeah, they don't start with the Israeli army.
Exactly the point. That's exactly the point. Why don't they start with the Israeli army?
Too strong.
Go get the snot beat out of them. Right? So why would you do that? But what's your point? What is your point?
Whereas Rashi's talking about morality.
But
sometimes it's the morally most strong that are being attacked. It's the ones that we go right in. You know, the focal family is just happening now.
Yeah.
You know, if you're talking about divine protection, then that doesn't make sense.
What's that?
I say, if you're talking about that the clouds of glory didn't offer them divine protection when you're talking about Amalek, then that doesn't make sense in terms of now.
Anybody have the Pashtanim? Do you have the Dvarim? Can you grab me that one for a second? No, Devarim. The Devarim. No, I need that. I'm curious what the Rashbam would say, what the Ibn Ezra says, because Rashi's using Drash. In the Pshat, the Nechashalim, the weak, are literally the weak. Do we have any Rashbam here? Did we say anything? Yeah. The weak are the weak. So I understand what you're saying. You know what I'm saying? That it means. One second. Right there. Here. Yeah. Ibn Ezra says, Shalahaya bem koach lo lechet. They're physically weak. You know, it's not just like Rashi struggling with a different problem. How come they weren't protected? You know, but I think it was more fluid than that. That they went ahead and that they were weak people, that there's a whole nation and not everyone could keep up. And Amalek saw this as an opportunity. So in the Pshat, whose responsibility is that? Whose fault is it really that Amalek came? Why is it our responsibility? We should protect, right, we don't protect the weak. See, social justice. That's quite all right. You want to take your chumash?
What?
You want to take your chumash? By the cloud, right. You're struck either way. Why weren't they protected by the cloud? The answer why they weren't protected by the cloud, we'll see in a second. We're gonna address that. Yeah.
Another place in that tells us about this actual attack, other than
In Shemot, we're going there. Okay. Yeah. No, absolutely. Why did it happen? So, but we read the Rashi's. One second. So these v'ata yefi ager, you were tired, you were worn. V'lo yarei Elohim, and they did not fear God. Right. That was the problem with Amalek. Amalek. Here we are on this religious high. Everybody is totally intimidated by us because of Yam Suf, because of the miraculous destruction of the most powerful army in the world. And often comes Amalek and says, "You know what? Yeah, I know they're going to beat me, but so what? I don't care. I got to take them on."
Why is the Yirei Elohim referring to Amalek and Israel or the
weak? How would it refer to Israel?
It says, "Atah Yefi Yedeah." Well, Yirei Elohim, you're tired, you didn't even think of that.
Good. Everybody say what you were saying?
Yeah, I
thought that's what you were talking about.
See, it could go both ways. Asher karcha baderech, who karcha baderech? Who manned into you?
He did.
Vayizanei b'chal kol hashechem recharecha. He did. Ve'ata ayef v'yadeh. Ve'ata. And you are, when, so ve'ata ayef v'yadeh means, does it mean and or when? Everybody understand what I'm saying? Everybody see it? Sam, you see it? Which is it? Ve'ata, when you were tired? Because why is that important? Because v'lo yarei Elohim could go back to
no. It has to go on Am Yisrael because you have two verbs and two adjective clauses here. The verb clause is karcha baderach and the zanav thing, right?
Right.
And then the atayef yageh, it doesn't make sense syntactically to say that they were lo yarei Elohim because everything else that they're doing are verbs.
Okay, I agree with you. I understand. It could go either way. What does Rashi say? What does Rashi say? V'lo yarei Elohim. What does Rashi say? V'lo yarei? Yeah, yarei, to fear God. Who? Who's lo yarei Elohim? Amalek. Rashi says, clearly, v'lo yarei Elohim, Amalek. Where's your chat? What does even Ezra say?
V'lo yarei.
Does he say Jews, or he says Amalek? Like Ibn Ezra or Rashbam? I don't have in front of me. I don't know if he says anything. What does he say? V'lo yarei Elohim? Okay. Don't mean to put you on the spot. Meet Renee. V'lo yarei shav el Amalek. Yoni, sorry. V'lo yarei. I'm terrible. It's really not good. Shav el Amalek. Ooh, your Pashtan came back to Amalek.
I wasn't
Ibn Ezra says, V'lo yarei is Amalek. That surprises you, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Sorry, what can you do? Well, the art school says Amalek because of Rashi. You just understand, art school is always going to say what Rashi says. Okay?
And also V'ata'ayef,
all of that. But he has all to do it. He has to say, he says, Shav el Amalek, goes back to Amalek, Hupa alavar. He has to reinterpret it as a poem.
He says it refers to Amalek. Yeah, but he does that. Okay. Even your Pashtan, even your interpreter. Okay? The Haya, and it will be. It's not easy for him. His sympathy, I'm sure, is meaningful to him. The Haya, v'haniach Hashem elokecha lecha mikol eivecha misaviv. And it will be when God will leave you alone from all of your enemies around you. In the land that the Lord your God has given you an inheritance to inherit, is a inheritance to inherit.
Yes.
Sounds like when?
Yes.
What is it to possess? Lubishta means to conquer. Okay, what does it sound like? And describing what time?
When they get there.
Right? When you're quiet from your enemies. And you are inheriting your land.
After Yoshua.
Sounds like now.
After
okay.
Yoshua.
I know you don't think we have quiet by our enemies, but believe me, we do.
Why? Nor have we conquered all our land.
But that's the problem. That is the problem.
No, we haven't.
Not yet.
You know what it sounds like to me? The whole of Israel is winding in the shtachim, not protected because there's not enough Jews there. There's like settlers who are like...
That's a different... Oh, you mean the zanev, the tail. The tail.
Like
Interesting. Interesting. Okay. Well, we did discuss this, remember, last week, 2 weeks ago, little by little, lest you be overcome by the animals of the field, that we wouldn't inherit the land all at one time, because we wouldn't be enough people. Interesting. Okay. Timche et zecher Amalek mitachat hashamayim. You shall destroy... the Zecher Amalek.
The memory
of Amalek. Everybody understands that's impossible. Why is it impossible?
Because we have to remember it.
I have to remember to destroy the memory.
How do you destroy memory?
Exactly. Mitachat Hashamayim, from under the heavens, lo tishkach.
Remember when you destroy the memory, you don't have to remember.
No, but then the next two words are lo tishkach.
Don't forget.
The next two words are lo
tishkach. Nice try. Don't forget. Don't forget. Destroy the memory of Amalek. And look at Rashi, just to be clear. Look at Rashi. Timche et zecher Amalek me'ish v'ad isha me'olel v'ad yonik. Man and woman, child, like, you know, olel.
Young
to weaning, nursing. Shor v'ad seh. Animals. Shelo yehe shem zech Amalek nizkar afilu al behema. No one would even say that's his ram truck, right? That's Amalek's.
So
it's whatever.
Like,
why is that? Don't forget.
What though? Does it say don't forget?
Don't forget to destroy. Don't forget the commandment to destroy the remnant of Amalek from upon the earth. Don't forget.
It's weird that they, like, why is Zecher in there?
It's an interesting question. Okay, so first thing I want to ask you is, what's the Nitziv asked a very interesting question. What's the connection between, I intentionally didn't just start at Zecher Amalek, what? The stones, the weights. What's the connection? So look at Rashi for a second. Rashi on Yud Zayin. Rashi on Yud Zayin. Zachor, the very beginning, says Rashi, Im shakarta b'midot u'b'mishkalot, if you cheat in weights and measures, have doeg migirui ha'oyev, you better worry. If you start losing a sense of honesty in business and begin to cheat each other, then the enemy is soon to come. Shne'emar, as it says, mo'oznei mirma, false weights, to'avat Hashem, are abomination to God. So the Nitziv asks a very, very obvious and interesting question. What in the world is the connection between Amalek, the enemy coming, and false weights? Why? Because we have false weights.
It's only a little bit. You're not stealing everything in the bank. You're just taking a little bit, and it's a little bit dishonest.
Because before you know it, Amalek sort of creeps into your system, like the whole thing about assimilation. Little by little.
Amalek is our are, think about it this way. Really? Think about, if I make the equation between Amalek, I'm making the equation between Amalek, so you're being a little too, Amalek is Hezbollah. Amalek is Hamas. Amalek wants to destroy you. Amalek hates your guts and has no bones about telling you, if I could, I would kill you today. Let's understand. So Amalek doesn't creep into your society. Amalek hates your society. You guys are like so, you know, homiletic today. You're really very drishy. Let's take it for what it is. Amalek is our arch enemy. Amalek is the anti-Jew. Amalek can't stand us and wants to destroy us and is unabashed about it and says the world would be a better place without a state of Israel. That's what Amalek is. Don't, like, let's not say, oh, like, you know, we have to get rid of the Amalek inside of us. Yetzer Hara is bad and we have to get rid of the Yetzer Hara. That's not Amalek. Amalek is the Yetzer Hara to the end, you know, Amalek is Amalek.
What's the connection of the 2% increments gradually over time?
That's going to seem sense. What?
No, but you could argue ideologically that that's people that says Israel, you know, that living here in Israel is saying we have to give up the land for peace. So that's the
explicit. We are so all over the map today. We've got
the explicit and implicit.
What?
It's the explicit and the implicit. It's not they're not mutually exclusive.
Okay.
It's not just the obvious, it's also the
Says the Nitziv, he asked a simple question. He says, first of all, when did Amalek first come?
When we were weak.
When? Historically.
When we left.
In the desert. Really? So why is the Torah saying that because of weights and measures, because cheating and weights and measures, that's why Amalek comes? Were there weights and measures in the desert?
No.
Was there business? Were they, you know, trading with each other at that point? Were they already cheating each other? So how could you say it? We wouldn't even be surprised. Really? They just got out of the Yom Suf. Yeah, it was like a day, 2 days, 3 days later. Give them a few days to cheat each other.
They had all the rechush from the...
Okay.
Didn't they have all the gold and everything?
Maybe
they were bombed 2 days after they Amalek, Vayachem Bisrael Berfidim. They were in Refidim. It was not more than a month.
they did?
Not more than a month. They traveled. Moshe traveled with them. They had the man. They had the mara. They had the man.
You don't think some people prepared more masoda? Some people, like, some people are more last-minute people and don't always prepare the right amount. I'm sure there was trading going on.
And they were cheating each other.
Human nature.
Okay. That's not what the Nitziv says. That's a really pessimistic view of the Jewish people. You know. Takes us 2 days late, 2 days, and we're already killing each other. Very good. We're going to get there. That's where we're going to get to, Shmuel. Where are we? Got to hurry up. Okay. Says the Nitziv. Chazal said the following. Chamur avon mishkolot yoter migilui arayot. Cheating in weights and measures, and cheating in business, is worse than sexual impropriety, gilui arayot, adultery.
Just because you think you're not really doing something wrong.
It's so interesting, like, you know, we don't give haliyot to, you know, to homosexuals and people who cheat, but, like, you know, when I say Yamod Chaim Ben Moshe, do I ask him first, you're not cheating on you. Exactly. Show me your tax return.
I'll call my son.
Oh, really? Oh, sorry. Beryl Ben Shmerel, you feel better? Okay.
You know, but we deal with this all the time. How many times do we deal with somebody that says, okay, if you pay me cash, then I don't know. That's
why is this worse than other types of theft? Furthermore, v'chi. How are they at all comparable? So the Nitziv says, I'm not going to read you everything. He says, what are the three big sins? Murder, idolatry, and adultery. He says, those are three broad categories of sinfulness. And what are the three broad categories? Okay. The three broad categories are Heder Emuna, a lack of faith in God. Okay, symbolized by what's the ultimate lack of faith? Idolatry. Second is overwhelming desire, giving in to your desire. And the third one is the lack of control of our emotions. Murder, right? The lack of control of our emotions, the lack of the ability to have self-control. Okay? He says, obviously the worst form of lack of faith is avodah zarah. Okay, the worst in Tavas Gilei Ariot, and the worst of Midot Ra'ot is murder, of bad elements. Okay? All sins come from this element, from this place. Someone is Michal Shabbos, he says. Someone who violates the Shabbos explicitly. Which one is that?
Idolatry.
A lack of faith. Exactly right. Because if you believe in the fact that God created the world, then you keep Shabbat. Okay? Etc., etc. Therefore, someone who steals. Which one of these is it? Someone who steals surreptitiously. Not I say, I love your frother, and I steal your frother. That's like, I need the frother. Okay?
Sneaky.
Instead, someone who steals. Why?
It's a lack of faith.
That's exactly. That's right. Enomi derech ha'tava. It's not out of desire. Ella, chesron emuna b'Hashem. It is a lack of faith in God. Hazan umifarnes behashkacha pratit lefi ma'asav. Who sustains and gives sustenance and gives need hashkacha pratit according to each individual private need, according to each person's deeds. Bahareze migeder avodah zara. What brings Amalek? This is the key. The key to everything and understanding Amalek. What is Amalek? Asher Karcha Badero. There's a very famous theme in Amalek that I'm sure you've heard of, and I'm saying again. Karcha from the word Mikre. Mikre means?
Happens.
Just happens. There is no Hashkacha Pratit.
Mikre is Kara
Mi
Hashem.
Right. What? The from people say Mikre is Kara Mi Hashem. Amalek says Karchav Mikre. There is no divine, godly leading, intervention. Rather, it's all whatever. And obviously this is a very famous theme in Purim. That's the theme of Purim. Hippie poor. Why do you...
lottery.
Right. Why do you do a lottery? Because it doesn't matter what the day is. Well, by chance, whatever comes out. Right. This is one of the primary themes of Purim. Mikre, poor. Right. The idea of the nations of the world believe that there isn't this Hashkacha Pratit, this divine intervention, this divine hand guiding the world, guiding the Jewish people, guiding each and every one of us. And on the other hand, we believe, we lead our lives in such a way that says absolutely not correct. And where does it manifest itself? How does that faith really manifest itself?
In our day-to-day living.
In business. That's right. In the way you lead your life. You know, do you believe that you write the check or not? The tzedakah check. Because if you really think that it's not yours and that God gives you what you need, that's not hard to write the check. Just write the check. But if you say, well, I don't know, it's kind of tight this month, tuition, braces, all those other things, you know, then it's harder because where's it going to come from? Yes. Okay.
Oh, gosh.
He said, to pay for the braces or to write the tzedakah check? Okay. He says, one second. Anaf avodah zarah. Okay, who chamor migilui arayot? He says it's worse than gilui arayot, cheating in business, because at least gilui arayot, as bad as it is, you gave in to your desire. Everybody has a yetzer hara, right? It's a terrible thing, but at least that. But here, it's not what. What's that? Will bring Amalek. Why? Why? Because God says, you know what?
You
don't believe in me?
Lo yirei Elokim, it's back on
the nice, yeah. Very good. You don't believe in me? You don't really trust that I'm here? See ya.
It might be forgotten.
Then Amalek comes. And no one's going to stop them. Because their whole point is the exact opposite of Amalek, of the Jewish people. This leads us, yeah?
You can pay someone without paying. Ma'am,
yeah.
But you can report their name and just go in and say, I paid this person with adding back.
Oh, in the government, it's called Malshinon?
It's called the Malshinon. Nothing
and
has to do with it.
Nothing reports it. You want people to report it.
You mean that they're, because if I pay in cash, they're supposed to report the taxes.
It's the person that takes it without cash. It's 100% their responsibility.
It is their responsibility.
They give you a price, and what they do with that money is their responsibility, but you know that you didn't get a
Are you obligated to fulfill in the... is there like a law that you're supposed to write in the web? You're supposed to report it?
No,
they're supposed to report it. Have you ever done
it?
Well, my question is, I have a more fundamental question. What is your obligation if somebody says to you, you know, you're interviewing somebody or multiple contractors,
mm-hmm.
and they say, well, here's my price.
So that's exactly what she said. Legally, it's his.
No, I'm not asking legally. I'm asking hypothetically. If all the contractors are saying that to you, can you go with one of those contractors?
Why can't you say to him, "Listen, my business is not what you do with your business. You're going to be audited by the government. So what you report is between you and the government. You want to give me the best price you can give me, and then I will decide based upon that and the quality of your work." Which choice I'm going to make.
But you have to decide if you're paying in cash or a check. If you're paying by check, it's reported. If you're paying
by
cash, not.
Exactly.
That's his business.
I can tell my people, you can pay me this amount if you pay me in cash, and this amount if you give me a check.
If you know that the tax is not paid.
That's exactly what Daniela said. It's his responsibility.
I can tell my people that they ask that what I report.
Absolutely. Legally? Legally? Absolutely. Is there a legal issue? I don't know. You have to ask a rabbi. What you're really asking me is, am I over lifnei iver by paying him in cash?
I'm asking if I'm stealing by paying him in cash.
You're not stealing. No. You're not stealing. Are you violating lifnei iver? Lifnei iver means the prohibition of putting a stumbling block, of enabling him to do something sinful. It's a good question. I don't know, maybe I'll ask
them to. So once you have somebody do the work and then they tell you, well, you could pay 15% more if you pay by check.
Absolutely not. What's the price you agreed upon? Why can't you say exactly what I said to you? And then I think you're clear. You give me the best price you can give me. I'm not interested in how, it's not my business and not my responsibility of how you conduct your business. Okay, I can pay you any way I like. You understand what I'm saying? And if I pay you in cash, that does not absolve you of your responsibilities. I can pay you in cash. I can pay you by check.
No, but you'll make sure you pay in cash.
What's that? Again,
it's
his...
you make sure to pay by check.
Again.
No, he's saying you give your client a price. And you don't ask
It's a good question. It's not. I don't think it's black and white. I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. Vayavo Amalek. And now we're back to Yud Zayin. Shemot Perek Yud Zayin. If you have a Shemot, turn to Shemot Perek Yud Zayin. Shemot Perek Yizayin also didn't happen in a vacuum. Yeah. Perek Yizayin Pasuk Chet. Okay, right before. Actually, we're going to go to the. We know it's yours. Yeah, anytime we see it here, it's yours. Perek Yud Zayin. We're going to go to Pasuk Vav.
Now, if you heard the story, are you going to stay with your?
If you heard this shear?
No.
Oh, by Yabo Amalek.
Yud Zayin.
Mitzvah. No, I think it's a. I don't think it's only the parsha of Zachor. Yeah, the question is, do you have to go to shul? Why can't you read it at home? It's all chumra upon chumra. No, it's all chumra and it's all
mishnah.
What? Can you bring me the Dvarim, the Torah Chaim, the blue one? I'll look it up in the. Thank you. Look it up in the.
Shofar.
No, I'm just looking in the chinuch for a second. I don't think so at all. Mitzvah, here we go. Okay. Here it says mitzvah. One second, the hachri, diskor, azecha amalek. I'm reading from the chinuch. Midini ha-mitzvah, the rule of the mitzvah, chiyuv sichira ba-lev u-ba-peh. It is in the heart and in the mouth, okay, etc. So you have to say it, both you have to remember it and also articulate it. One second. Ve'el ha-zichira hazah b'lev u'peh lo yadanu bazman kavua bashana u'bayom. There's no specific time. Right. Ve'atam ki b'zichira ikar ha-hi ikar bedat. You have to remember. Blah, 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 blah. Bedai lanu lizkor ha-inyan pam achat bashana. Oh, b'shtei shanim b'shalosh. You have to remember it once or twice, once a year, once every 2 or 3 years. Okay? He says, b'chol makomot Yisrael korim sefer Torah b'shana achat o b'shtayim b'shalosh. Everyone reads the Torah every 1 year, some places 2 or 3 years. V'hinehem yotzim b'kach mitzvah zo. And you fulfill this mitzvah. V'ulai ne'amar ki min hagan shal Yisrael b'parshat zachor likrota b'shabbat miyuchad b'chol shana torahi. There's a minhag that's established, it's become an established halacha to read Parshat Zachor once a year. But in theory...
So are women obligated to go listen?
Not really. Whatever. We say you are. We do it before Purim. It's our communal right. We're reading it now. We just read it. You know what I'm saying? We all fulfill the mitzvah d'oraita.
So but, do we have to go?
Yes, you do. Sorry, still you do. No, you can't.
You're going to watch Purim.
Not going to be a show.
Wait, that's... Hey, you have a reading afterwards. Come at the end or whatever.
How do we fulfill the mitzvah if we don't have a minute?
You remember the fulfilling of the mitzvah of remembering to destroy Amalek. The mitzvah is to remember. The mitzvah of destroying is placed upon the nation itself. There are some mitzvot that are
part of.
It's not an individual mitzvah.
It happens after. It's one of the things that the Melech HaMashiach
right.
has to do.
It's not an individual commandment. It's a national commandment. It's a communal commandment, which the government will have to do. Okay. Before we read the pasuk by Abu Amalek, see pasperek pasuk vav. We're not going to read the whole thing. We've actually learned this recently.
I think there's going to be full body scanners like at the airport, and people are just going to have to walk through it. And
wow.
Their Amalek or not.
Seriously, the United Nations is going to have a party.
This
with
is one of the things.
In
they want to be able to look at you and tell you which Shevet you're in and all that.
Yeah. The whole United Nations? Perek Yud Zayin. I'm just at the very end of the last parsha. Hinani, of course, racial profiling. That's exactly what it is.
That's what keeps our country alive, is racial profiling.
Hinani Omed. Now you can't run for government. Hinani Omed Panecha Sham Al Hatzur B'Chorev. I am standing before you on the rock in Chorev. V'hikita Batzur. You'll hit the rock. Remember this story? They had no water. We want water. They attacked Moshe. We did this. Stand on the rock. Right? And you'll hit the rock and the water will come out. Moshe did this. It was called test and rebellion. Al-Riv B'nei Yisrael. The fact the Jewish people rebelled, they fought. Va'al-Nasotam et Hashem Limor. And on the fact that they tested God saying, Hayesh Hashem bekirbenu im ayin. Is God in our midst or not? Next pasuk, Vayavo Amalek. Amalek came, Vayilachem im Yisrael birifidim.
As soon as they were in the
town. What?
The
box of the weights and measures and the box.
Nice, nice. I didn't even think of that. Mm. Now you got to figure out what to do with it. It's rocks in our hearts.
Well, it goes back to those three things that you were talking about.
Hold on, we'll get there. 1 second. The tea takes it back. I'm going to let you do the whole shiur. Vayavo Amalek v'Yerimizo. Vayomer Moshe Yoshua. Bechar lanu anashi v'tehilachem ba'amalek machar. Choose men, go fight with Amalek tomorrow. Anochi nitzav al rosh hagiva umateh Elohim biadi. I'm standing on the head of the, on the top of the hill with the staff of God. Vayas Yoshua k'sher amalo Moshe lihilachem ba'amalek. Moshe did what, Yoshua did what he said. Moshe, Aharon, v'chu, alu rosh hagiva. We all know the story. Moshe, Aharon, and Chor went up to the top of the hill. V'haya, kasher yarim Moshe yado begavar Yisrael. V'kasher yaniach yado begavar Amalek. Hands up, we're winning. Hands down, we're losing. V'yidei Moshe kvidim. His hands became heavy. V'yichu Evan. Wait, 1 second. V'yichu Evan. They took a rock. Somebody, I'm sure, wrote a piece on rocks and stones in this whole thing. I'm sure. And Moshe's hands were emuna. And Yoshua and Amalek, Yoshua and his people.
Interesting choice of words.
He weakened them.
Back to the Kohen Nachashalim.
Nice. I like this, yeah.
You also saw the parallel in the beginning.
Vayachalosh nechashalim.
And also, like, Mizah connected Mizah, they came to the nechashalim, and now he is
vayachalosh of them. Vayom Hashem al Moshe. His hands were, he had them up in the air the whole time. Right. So they had to hold him up. Right. Vayom Hashem al Moshe, ketov zod zikaron basefer besim baozne Yehoshua. Write it down and put it in his ears. I will.
How
That's what you meant?
Yes, and then it says his name.
We have to like write a journal from this year. There's a lot of heavy stuff here. Okay, Tammy, you're in charge. Vayiven Moshe Mizbeach Vayikras Shemo Hashem Nisi. Right, and Moshe built a Mizbeach. And he called it, God is my Nisi. My miracle? No.
My tester.
My yomer ki yad al kes. My nace, my glory, my staff of glory, my flag.
We say it in Adon Olam. Manos li.
Vayomer, I don't think that's the same. Manos is from flag. Vayomer ki yad al kes yam ilcha v'ashem ba'amalek midor dor. Anybody have an English? Kiyad al Kesia?
I do.
What is it?
The hand upon the throne of the Lord. The Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation.
There's an eternal war. Moshe took a vow that we have an eternal war with the nation of Amalek until we destroy them at the end of days. Right? So we're talking about an eternal struggle. So, of course, the Netziv comes back. Where am I? I'm running out of time, right? The Netziv comes back and says, what in the world is the connection between, how in the world, like, I'm looking at Pasuk Zion, he says, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu imayin. How in the world could the Jewish people wonder, is God in our midst or not? Really? They just had Kriyat Yam Suf. They themselves. What are they eating? What did they have for breakfast that morning?
The man.
So how in the world could they doubt?
No, this is a new generation.
No. We're back in Shemot.
Oh.
That's them, the people. Okay. So he says, how is it possible? So he says the following. 1 second. There's two aspects. One, Shiyadu heitev ka'et Hashem holnichim an bosen nisim. They knew well. I'm reading from the Netziv. Again, Hamikdavar. I'm connecting. He actually connects the two also. They knew very well that God was performing miracles for them. That was no doubt. Aval kol ze einu ele ba'od Moshe chai v'kayam. That was only as long as Moshe was alive. V'kadosh baruch hu molich liyemin Moshe zro atif arto. And God guided them with Moshe. But Moshe is not there forever. They knew that. And we are commanded to believe, even without overt miracles, HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'ashgachato shel Rebbe Kirbeinu, God and His Hashgacha. They dwell, they are in our midst. V'al Dvar Zeh Nistapku, Hayesh Hashem b'Kirbeinu, is gone in our midst without Moshe. U'mashgiach aleinu b'halichot hateva. Does God guide us through the paths of nature? U'bishvil chisaron emuna zo ba'amalek b'yichud. And it's for this reason that specifically Amalek came. Right? Their lack of faith wasn't in the power of miracles. The lack of faith was, okay, Moshe, it's great, we're in the desert, but what's next? What's going to happen to us after this? How are we going to win? And it's very interesting to note, how did the Jewish people beat Amalek? How did the Jewish people beat Paro, beat Egypt? It says, Hashem yilachem lachem v'atem tacharishun. You guys stand back, I got this one. Amalek came, and what did Moshe tell them?
Go fight.
You go fight. God's not going to do this one. Why not? Says the Nitziv, the reason is because that was their problem. If God is fighting for them, they're fine. But as soon as we have to do it, what do you mean God's going to guide me? I have to fight.
But they didn't do it. Moshe held up his stick and they won.
No, Moshe held up his hands. Look at Rashi on Videi Moshe on Vayak Arer Yisher Yarim Moshe Yado. Very famous Gemara in look at the Rashi on Yud Aleph. Kasher Yarim Moshe Yado. Moshe lifted up his hands. See the Rashi just alludes to a famous Midrash. Do I have, you have Shemot? Yeah. Thank you, Shemot. The very, very famous Rashi. I will open mine. Okay. One second. Here we are. Says Rashi. See Rashi on that? V'chi yadav shel Moshe no tzchot hayu milchama. And Rashi, the hands of Moshe won the war. Let me read you. I'll read you the Gemara, the Midrash. V'chi shel yadav shel Moshe migabrot Israel. Did Moshe's hands win the war? Oh, yadav shovrot et Amalek. Did Moshe's hands destroy Amalek? Ela kol zman shaya Moshe magbia et yado klapei mala. When Moshe lifted up his hands, hayu Yisrael mistaklim bo. He lifted up his hands, they looked up, and they, v'hayu ma'aminim b'mi shepakad Moshe la'asot ken. And they believed in Hashem. And when he put his hands down, then they lacked their foot, they lacked that singular focus. So he's saying, with your point, Yonit, right, is exactly that. That the Midrash goes out of its way to explicitly show it wasn't miraculous. It wasn't me'al hateva, it was betoch hateva, it was bederach hateva, it was through the way of nature. Right? Amalek is the antithesis of God guides our hand, even in natural ways. And when the Jewish people, our job in the world is specifically the exact opposite of that. Our job is to show the world, no, the world is hashgacha. God does guide the world. God does guide each and every one of us. He says, what does that mean? Mechiat Amalek. I'm skipping a lot since we don't have any time. God promised, ki tagia sha'ash yimache zecher Amalek. There will come a time where Amalek will be destroyed. Hanu tachlit te'udato. Meaning the idea, his whole purpose in life, his whole mission will be destroyed. Why? Because Amalek believes that the world is guided by nothing. Whatever, it happens unnatural without anybody's guidance. This whole guided worldview will be forgotten. Why? God will be Melech, the King of the entire world. Zehu Yimot HaMashiach Shiyagia B'mheira B'yameinu. That's right. The Yimot HaMashiach will come. When the Yimot HaMashiach will come, it's not just we believe. We will be the shining light, the beacon for the world, and the world will see, you know what? They were right. God does guide the world, even in the natural ways. And that's why Purim is the ideal story. What is the whole story of Purim? There's no overtness, there's no direct revelation, there's no nothing. You have to choose when you read that book to say, is it just a cool story and it's just going to happen that way, or is the hidden hand of God written throughout? That is the story of Purim. That's the whole Purim. This is Amalek from beginning to end. This is the connection between the weights and measures to the coming of Amalek. It's all the same question. Where is the guiding hand of God? And it's the same question we struggle with. This is our mission. Our mission in the world is to promote this idea. And it starts with each and every one of us. When we believe it in our lives, We spread it around the people to whom we associate. It's so important for us to articulate. Of course, we struggle with the Amalek that tries to nechashalim, tries to blow us up, tries to, you know, destroy us in wherever it is, wherever they can, in Bulgaria, it doesn't matter, in Lebanon, in Iran, and we say to them, don't you understand? There's Yad Hashem here. There's the Hashkacha. And our country, as strong as we are, thank God, right, still requires the guidance to shoot down 80% of the rockets. Because it could go, better, and it could go worse. And a believing person will say, just like he reads the Megillah and says, the hand of God is there. God's hand is also guiding that poor soldier sitting at that missile battery, trying to guide that, whatever that thing is called, to destroy its target.
Iron Dome.
It's all Derech HaTeva. But you see the Kippah HaBarzel, such a beautiful name. It's so true. Kippah HaBarzel, yes, Kippah HaBarzel is the name of a missile system. But it's also the name of something else as well. It was well chosen. Yeah, you want to say something?
Parallels also the whole growth period of the Jewish people before they were ready to enter Israel. Shabbat started coming and there was like going to be more that overt protection and whatever.
Right.
Like their whole kind of holding back from entering the land in the beginning was that same not being ready to take on
that. Right, the Chedim Rambam. Absolutely correct. And I don't think it's a new question. This is our mission. This is our job. This is our responsibility. And I think that that's what Netziv says. Mashiach will come when we are ready and the world is ready and we have prepared the world for this idea. And then Mashiach will come and Bahaya Hashem Bayomu Yah Hashem Echad. We'll stop.